Good morning, Discovery. My name is Tyler. I'm the new associate pastor. If I haven't got a chance to meet you, I'd love to, and I'm hoping that we can so soon as we are looking forward and planning for physical gatherings very soon. Pastor John's on a study break this week, and so as he's planning and preparing and hearing from Jesus and moving forward, we're hoping that that he's getting a good rest as well. We've got a special live stream for you. Today we are featuring Antonio with the message. After the message, we will have some prayer requests. So if we have some prayer requests, we'd love to pray with them. And we'll be doing that live. So if you want to text us at 253-237-8414, we'll be praying for those at the end of service. Today, we're going to continue in our series, A Life on the Move, Finding Your Calling. And if you want to join me, we're going to read Genesis 9, 18 through 29. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over all the earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he had drank some of the wine, he became drunk and laid uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment outside and laid it across their shoulders, and they walked backwards and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned away so that they would not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and found what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves he will be to his brothers." And he also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend the territory of Japheth, and may Japheth live in tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his slave." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Altogether, Noah lived 950 years, and he died. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can read it, Lord, that we can be changed by it. Lord, I pray that as Antonio speaks to us this morning, that you would open our ears and our hearts, and that you would speak to us and help us to be changed. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Antonio.
Good morning, Discovery. Happy Sunday morning. It's such an honor to be here with you this morning. Thank you, Tyler, for the introduction. We're going to go ahead and get into this word. If you have something to write with, if you have a piece of paper, I want to encourage you to take notes today. The title of my message is There's More Than What Meets the Eye. I believe that these are consequential times for us as a church, as a community, as a region, that we found ourselves in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of trouble. And I think it's very synonymous with the story that we hear from our friend, our brother in the scripture, Noah. What's interesting about reading stories in the Bible is I think sometimes we forget it. Maybe this is just myself, right? So I'll just talk about myself. Sometimes I find myself forgetting that the people that God has chosen, I forget that they're normal people. I forget that they're real people with real problems, with real issues, and they have some real flaws. So I'm sorry to tell you, but these are not the Kardashians, right? Like, this is not reality TV. When their toast falls, it does not fall the right side up, right? The reality is we find ourselves oftentimes reading about flawed people who are dealing with real issues. And this is where we pick up in the story in Genesis chapter 9, is that we find that Noah's been on the move, right? That's the series we're talking about, Life on the Move. And God has called Noah from one place to another place, right? We'll call it, Noah has arrived on the other side. And this is probably true with you and I, that we feel like we're closing in on the other side. I don't know what the other side is for you. It may be businesses opening up. It may be your jobs opening up. It may be economically, right? You may be looking at your stock market account like me, and things are beginning to enter into what we would call normalcy. You know what's interesting about reading the scripture is I've learned is God has a funny way of calling us to the other side. I mean, could you imagine being one of Jesus's disciples? And Jesus in the gospel tells his disciples, hey, we have to go to the other side. And on their way in their journey of pursuing the promise of God of going to the other side, because they had assignment on the other side, is they faced near death, right? Could you imagine, right, being with the God of the universe who creates, who tells us a promise, and then we're faced with the pressure and the pain of facing a literally a near-death experience, right? God has a funny way of bringing us through the other side. Could you imagine Moses receiving the promise of the promised land and having to go through the desert, which was supposed to be just a few days turned into 40 years, right? Could you imagine that God has a funny way of taking us through our process of pressure and pain to get to the side, the other side of our promise? Maybe think about this idea of Mary. You know, Mary had an interaction with an angel. Gabriel shows up and he says, blessed is Mary who's found favor with God, that Mary will carry the child that will be called Jesus or Emmanuel, God with us, that your son through this immaculate birth will be called the Son of the Most High God. Could you imagine the promise, right? God starts oftentimes with the promise. But sometimes God doesn't tell us about the pressure, because as you read through the gospel narrative, like, you don't have to go too far in your reading to go from Mark chapter 1 and to arrive at Mark chapter 3. And now all of a sudden, the promise has become the burden, and the pressure sometimes has a way of choking out our promise. Because in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, Mary and all of Jesus' siblings are convinced that Jesus is out of his mind. Maybe you found yourself in this season of your life where God's promised you something. God's told you or called you to something, and all of a sudden you start building a boat miles and miles and miles away from water, right? And all of a sudden you're building this thing that's supposed to be saving people, that's supposed to be redeeming people. And people are like, why are you building this boat in the middle of nowhere? Could you imagine Noah's family? Could you imagine his children being in school? And could you imagine them being at Giadroni and them walking down the hallways and them being like, psst, 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 psst. Hey, see Ham? Yeah, you see? Yeah, his dad's out of his mind. He's crazy, right? Could you imagine being Noah's wife and having to carry the burden where all of a sudden you show up to tea parties and they're questioning, they're DMing you, is your husband okay, right? Literally, we find Noah in the midst of the pressure. He's building, he's being mocked, and then God thrusts him into the middle of this boat with every living creature, and he's having to feel the burden of being the only, them being the only family that's saved. Noah and his family were saved, and they hear the cries of humanity as they fade away. Pressure is real. But I think it's important that as soon as we see in Genesis chapter 8 is God makes a sign to remind Noah of his covenant that God will never do to humanity what he had did during Noah's time. And so this is where we get the rainbow. But this is what I've realized, is that God gives us signs, but we need stones. Let me tell you why this is consequential in your pressure, that you have a stone. Because as we fast forward through the biblical narrative, as we see Moses and Joshua leading the Israelites to the promised land, and God stops Joshua and he says, command all of the leaders to grab 12 memorial stones. Because you guys will have the Passover that you'll celebrate, but you need to be reminded perpetually of what I've done in your life. You need to be reminded daily by grabbing a stone that will perpetually be in front of you to remind you about what I did, reminding you about my promise. Can I ask you a question? And maybe you need to pause this video. What is it that you have in your life that reminds you of God's promise? Maybe you need to go grab it. Maybe you need to go find it. But I think God creates signs. God gives us signs, but we as human beings need stones. This is where David writes in the Psalms that God has a way of pulling us out of the miry clay and setting our feet upon solid rock, right? We need stones to remind us of God's promise. Now let's talk about pain, right? Because what I've found is that when we find ourselves in the middle of our pressure, right? And we're in COVID-19, right? And just like the scripture where we're reading about Noah and we find out about the curse, right? It's more than what meets the eye, right? There's so much more that's going on. Just like there's so much more that's going on in our country today and around the world than COVID-19, right? Because there are Black and brown people, specifically Black people, that are hurting in this country. And COVID-19 has forced us to look at ourselves in the mirror. And I think what I've discovered about pressure is that pressure requires something in our lives to relieve the pressure so that we don't explode. Let me explain. A few years ago, I had a hot water heater. I was having some issues. And I was asking my friend, there was something funny looking at the bottom of the hot water tank. And I said, what is that? He said, it's a release valve. He says, so when pressure and heat begins to compound and it is amplified, he says, what happens is this little valve will go off and it will keep this water tank from exploding. So what is it that you have in your life? What is it that you have in your world that can relieve the pressure of you exploding in pain? I know there are a lot of people hurting. I know that there are a lot of people that have been impacted by this pandemic that we're in. But I just want to remind you, as people of Christ, as leaders, we have been called to lead people to the other side. And I think it's consequential in seasons like this that we teach people that there are things that God brings along our journey that are meant to be just like that little release valve. You know, David had a reliever. He had a release valve, and it was worship. And for you, maybe it may be worship. Maybe being centered around worship. Maybe when you walk in the house, you're spending a lot of time in your house and with family, most of us, right? And most of us, we struggle with getting along with our family around the holidays, let alone 24/7, right? So it's okay, right? There's grace for everyone. But what are you doing to relieve yourself? And David, it was worship. And Samuel 1, chapter 19, we find that David was on the run from his pressure. What was his pressure? Saul was trying to kill and assassinate David. So David leaves the town to avert his assassination, and he finds Samuel. And this is powerful because as Saul is sending out those to assassinate him, to kill the promise of David becoming king, Samuel does something that I believe is consequential for you and I to hear today. As Samuel puts David in the midst of worship, and as his assassinators come, God is protecting David in the midst of the worship. Do you know that your worship is your protection? Do you, like, see, if we are in a Pentecostal church, this would be a great time for you to shout down the shout right now. You're at home, so you can shout as loud as you need to. But this is a great moment for you to just pause and to thank God, right? That your worship in this moment is your protection. It's your relief valve, right? There's pressure all around us that we're all aware of. But God uses worship to protect David from his enemies. I'll tell you another quick story before we wrap up. there is a young man that I was working with in one of my programs, and showed up to our program, and we're working through some of our normal schemes and normal curriculum, normal scheduled programming. And this student's behavior is erratic. He's kind of being a tyrant. You know, he's distracting the group, and he's seeking attention. And I just felt like there was more there, right? Because typically students like this in these environments, educators will remove them from the fold or remove them from the group from being a distraction, or they'll isolate them in the program where they end up working with someone one-on-one. But I felt like there was something more. I felt like that this young man just needed a relief valve. So I stop in the middle of our programming and I say, young man, I want you to stand up. I want to ask you a question. I said, when is the last time that you've been hugged by a man, by male, by an uncle, someone in your life who cares about you? This young man, he puts his head down and starts shaking his head. He says, Mr. Antonio, I don't remember the last time that I was hugged by a male, by a man. My father's been gone for as long as I can remember. I was a baby. I don't remember the last time I got a hug. And we literally stopped in that moment and we started to hug every single student in that classroom, including that young man. And that moment of that little relief valve not only changed the trajectory of the room, but that transcendent moment, it changed the trajectory of his life. We never once saw behavior like that in that student. Why? Because he was seen and heard. I think there are practical things that we can be doing each and every day to provide relief for us in the middle of the pressure, because we are going to the other side. But I think this is what the problem was with Noah. I think Noah arrived. We have to be careful of arriving. He arrived to the other side and he stops doing the little things. He doesn't have a memorial stone. He forgets about the little things, and he forgets that although they thought the problem was on the outside of the boat, the problem was there in the middle of the boat with him. And we have to realize that God sometimes uses moments like this. I'm not saying that God prescribes these moments. I'm saying God uses moments like this for us to face the problems that we revert from, that we run from, that are right in the mirror with us. So I think, what's something practical that we can do? And this may sound funny that it's practical, but I think we have to return to our promise. Now you may be asking at the sound of my voice, well, what does it mean practically for me to return to the promise? Well, I want to challenge you in that thought. That if I just give you a 5-step process to returning to your promise or hearing your promise, then what happens is it negates your responsibility to come and sitting in the face of Jesus. So like, what does it look like practically to do that? I think it's synonymous with how young babies, when they're born, they figure out a way to consume food, right? No one has taught them. They didn't do a 10-week lesson on how to consume food. The reality is they find a way. It is innately designed, just as it is innately designed for God's children to hear his voice. So return to the promise, because I truly believe that it's our promise that sustains us in our pressure, in our pain, that teaches us that when we arrive to the other side, that God was with us, that God is for us. And I want to encourage you that God has never left you, he's never left us, and that this was God's idea. And whenever there's vision, there's provision. Can I pray for you? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that although we find ourselves in the midst of uncertainty, we find ourselves in the midst of this global pandemic, we found ourselves hurting for a lot of us, God, is there is a promise in it all. A promise, God, that you've called us to go from where we are, the comfortability of where we are. And you're calling us to get uncomfortable with getting up from where we are, taking our family with us, to a new region, to a new city, God, where you've called us to serve, to a new place where you've called us to learn. So, Lord, I pray that we have to understand that embracing our promise requires us to embrace being uncomfortable. So, Lord, that's my prayer, that we would lean in to discomfort and that we would believe ultimately that in you we find the solution to all of the world's problems. We thank you for your grace. We're thankful, God, that in the midst of our crisis, that you've given us a promise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Antonio. That was so good. I needed to hear that this morning. Designed to hear God's voice, especially as we're looking and preparing to go in the other side. I hope that that touched you this morning as well. Hey, a couple of details I wanted to share with you. We do have we're planning for a gathering outdoors on July 5th, and we sent out a survey. If you have an opportunity to fill that survey out, it just lets us know where you're standing, and so we can be sensitive to where you're sitting as far as all of these sensibilities and having safe environments. So if you could do that survey, it'd be great to help us as far as leadership and plan and prepare for you. And also, there'll be a registration link for July 5th and more information coming out this week. Hey, this is the moment in our service where we set aside just a moment to be generous and to live as generous people. As we live to be for Jesus' people, generosity is something that naturally pours out for us. And that might mean giving of your time or giving of your money or just thinking about how you live generously. And I want to invite you in right now after service to go on and whether that's giving or it could be volunteering or some other way that you are living generously. We like to invite you in and worship through giving. A couple of things, other things to share. We have some interns that are coming in this week. So if you would join us, and I'll pray for these when we pray in just a moment here. But we've got Robert Hillier, Grace Long, and Nathan McClintock that are coming, and they're going to be joining in our body life and helping support and doing multiple things, serving in Tacoma, serving around, and growing and learning together. And so they'll be here from July 1st to August 3rd. And if you'd continue to pray for us with them as they come along, you'll be seeing some of them soon. I've got a few requests that you've sent to us. We have I'll take these slow if you want to write these down. We have someone that's asking for a new work-life balance as our church plant residents, Jesse and Stephanie, join Discovery. We have a prayer request for marriages that are struggling. We have a friend that is recovering from a pneumonia. We've got two men named David, one that went in for gallbladder and they found cancer in two places. And then another one that is having open heart surgery. We pray for God's compassion there. Pray if someone is feeling under attack as they draw close to God. And we have some prayer requests for job searching. We pray for just direction and opportunities in God's favor there. And then we pray for our Carlos family that he was in JROTC with a requester at Lincoln High School, and he died in a car crash 2 days ago. So we pray for that family too. Let's pray. Father God, we take a moment and we lift these requests up to you, knowing that none of these are a surprise to you, but we're thankful that we know that you hear our prayer requests. Lord, I pray for work-life balance for Jesse and Stephanie and for Brad and Monica and their new baby. And Lord, for our Tacoma campus, I pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment as we pursue gathering together. Lord, I also pray for our Puyallup campus, and I pray that you would, the same request, that you would give us prayer, wisdom and discernment as we pursue meeting safely. Lord, I pray for the protection for marriages of the families at Discovery and those in our neighborhood. Lord, would you help both spouses draw close to you and in turn draw closer to each other? Lord, I pray for the friend that is struggling with pneumonia. Lord, we pray that you put your healing touch on them. Lord, I pray for the David that recently found that he had cancer. Lord, I pray that he would, if he doesn't know you, that he could draw close to you. And Lord, if he does know you, that you would bring peace and that he would feel your comfort and your pleasure. Lord, I pray for the other David with the heart, open heart surgery. I pray that you would heal him, that you would touch him, and that you would just be with all of the medical staff as they undergo that procedure, and that it would be better than textbook, and Lord, that the recovery would be amazing. Lord, I pray for this person that that feels under attack as they're drawing closer to you. Lord, I pray that that you would bind and rebuke the enemy, and that that you would remove them, and that you would help them have a still, quiet, and confident moment that would be designed by you, where they could connect and they would hear your voice. Lord, I pray for this person looking for a job. I pray that you would you'll help them to see what right things to apply for. I pray for your favor to go before them. Lord, help them know what to look for, and Lord, they would be employed. And then we pray that for soon. And Lord, we pray for Carlos's family. Lord, I pray that as they're grieving, Lord, I pray that they could grieve with you, because we know that that you are an emotional and close God, and we're thankful for that. Lord, pray for our Discovery family this week, and thank you that we are able to do this despite technical difficulties today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're so inclined, there's a link right now for an after party. After parties are great. No link. Okay. Well, if you go on the website, there's a link at discochurch.com/live, and you'll see the after party link. We'd love to join you, meet you, say hello. We just all share a little bit, and then we do some prayer requests there as well. But we'd love to see your face, and we pray that you have a great week. Thanks.